world beauty pageants. If you don't, you have not missed a thing. But if you do remember them, maybe you remember there was always a moment where the candidates would be able to answer the question of what do they want most. And the typical answer was always world peace. World peace, that was the stereotypical answer. But it's a good wish, isn't it? End of war, peace on earth, goodwill to all. We'll hear those words a lot in the run-up to Christmas. But my question this morning is this. Is it possible? Is it possible to have world peace? What would it mean? What would it look like? Do you know, the word peace occurs at least 429 times in the Bible. And the Bible we have in English is, of course, an accurate translation from the ancient Hebrew and Greek that it was written in. And the word for peace in Hebrew is the word shalom. Shalom, peace, means reconciliation, restoration, completeness. So peace on earth would mean reconciled relationships, restoration of things broken, completing what isn't finished. Which must mean that there are broken relationships, a broken world, an unfinished world. Well, that brings us to the world of Micah. Micah is a prophet. His job is to tell people what God said. He's living up to his name. The name Micah literally means who is like God. Micah speaks into a context very similar to ours. Perhaps you'll recognize it. Micah's world was one of chaos, war, political turmoil and upheaval, oppression, fear and uncertainty. Does that sound familiar? Not much has changed in the last few thousand years. Yet into this chaos, God promises order. That's the first thing we see in our readings. God promises peace. Do you remember how chapter 4 began? In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills. Peoples shall stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees. And no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It is beautiful imagery, is it not? Weapons beaten down, melted, reshaped, and sculpted from instruments of war to instruments of peace. Farming tools made out of old weaponry. If you want a visual example of this, get yourself over to Chester Cathedral. Because outside is a giant statue of an angel made of donated, broken-down knives. It is a statement against knife crime. Do go and see it if you can. That's a picture of what God's future is like. Imagine no tension, no threat, no longer will we hear the noise of bullets flying across the horizon. No more nights with tracer fire lighting up the sky. Or closer to home, no more news reports of yet another stabbing. Is this possible? Or is it just a pipe dream? Well, as a Christian, I believe it is possible. But perhaps not in the way that we might think. Did you remember how chapter 5 of Micah began? But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. So God has made a promise. He promises peace. And here is how he makes and keeps that promise. God promises peace through Bethlehem's baby. God promises peace through Bethlehem's baby. We're at a familiar point in the whole story of the Bible. Many years before it happened, Micah wrote down from God the promise that from Bethlehem would come a baby who would bring peace. Another Bible writer called Isaiah puts it like this. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The baby born in Bethlehem is, of course, if you haven't guessed it already, Jesus Christ. God himself stepping down into human history in the person of Jesus to bring peace in a way we do not expect. Later in these verses, God speaks of his anger, the vanquishing of his enemies, vengeance, execution. Well, how does that work? It doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? Well, sometimes war is necessary. It is unjust to let bullies win. There is, I believe, such a thing as a just war. But what God is concerned with is not imperialism or suppression. God's holy war is not against a nation or a belief system. God declares war on sin. Our sin. My sin. We are squared in God's sights. All of us, me certainly included, deserve the anger of God. Sin is serious. Sin is deadly. We have broken our relationship with our Creator and desire to be our own God. And God cannot just sweep sin under the carpet. That would not be just. How angry do we get when people who deserve punishment are allowed to walk away? But here's the thing. God will and does vanquish sin. And the guilty can walk free. Not by brushing sin under the carpet, but by Bethlehem's baby. Jesus grows up, he lives the perfect life of peace, and took the death we deserved. He stands in the way of the bullet. Now, at this time of the year, I always enjoy rewatching that historical docudrama, Blackadder. In the opening episode, we find Baldric is carving. "Baldric, what are you doing?" says Blackadder wearily. "Carving my name on this bullet, sir," pipes up his dim-witted chum. "You know they say that somewhere there's a bullet with your name on it. Well, I thought if I owned the bullet with my name on it, I'd never get hit by it, because I won't ever shoot myself." "Oh, shame," says Blackadder. "And the chances of there being two bullets with my name on them are very small indeed." The Christian message is that there is a bullet with our name on it because of our sin. But Jesus takes the bullet with our name on it on the cross and instead gives us the medal for valor with his name on it. We deserve death, but instead we're given a Victoria Cross, the highest accolade in the land. Humanity cannot make peace with themselves. Just watch Big Brother. So Christ, born in Bethlehem, makes peace between us and God through his own blood. And so we can enter that future of swords into plowshares. That beautiful picture is echoed at the end of the musical Les Miserables. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, Jean Valjean, the main character, dies. Spoiler alert. But he dies a redeemed, changed man because of the sacrifice that is made on his behalf. And as he slips away into death, as the musical comes to an end, you can hear the echo of a choir. And here is what they sing. "To love another person is to see the face of God." Do you hear the people sing, lost in the valley of the night? It is the music of the people who are climbing to the light. For the wretched of the earth, there is a flame that never dies. Even the darkest night will end when the sun will rise. We will live again in freedom in the garden of the Lord. We will walk behind the plowshares. We will put away the sword. The chain will be broken, and all men will have their reward. That is the picture that the Bible paints for us. But it is not a happy ending to a musical. It is real life. And so my question this morning is, do you want in? Do you want that shalom peace that only Jesus brings? When Jesus signs the peace treaty between us and God, signed and sealed with his own blood, where will we be? As the song ends, will you join in our crusade? Will you be strong and stand with me? Somewhere beyond the barricade, is there a world we long to see? Do you hear the people sing? Say, do you hear the distant drums? It is the future that we bring when tomorrow comes. World peace is possible through God's promise, enacted through the shed blood of Bethlehem's baby.